Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Kama Ayin Tes. We're holding at the Mishnah, which is around 12 lines off the top of the Yomit. Says the Mishnah, Gona Birshus HaBalim. So this fellow stole the animal from the owner's property. So he took the animal out of this fellow's barn, and then he proceeded with phase two, tvicha u'mechira, outside the barn. Rashi says, as soon as he took the animal out of the rishus of the owner, he became a ganav. He was kind of the animal, he became a ganav. So now, once he's an established ganav on this animal, that enables him to proceed to phase two of the Geneva, which is Tvicha Mechira, which will trigger the full Dalad Vehe payment. Oy Shagana Chutz Mirshusam, second example is, he stole the animal outside, he found it outside the barn. Rashi says, he did Meshicha. So he led the animal, he pulled it. That's a Kinyan Meshicha. So it's another example of being kind of the animal and becoming a Ganav. So in this case, even though he proceeded back to the barn, so phase one, Geneva, took place outside. And phase two took place inside the barn. Too late. Because he was already a ganav. And now the tvicha or mechira constitutes phase two of that robbery, despite the fact that phase two took place inside the owner's property. He's chayev. Oy, third example is Shagana v'tavach u'machar was mishusam. All two phases, the Gneva and the Tvicha or the Mechira, takes place outside the owner's property. In which case, once again, the Ganav was kind of the animal, became an established Ganav, and proceeded to phase two. In all these cases, full liability kicks in. Mishalam tashlum ha'baba chamish. Aval but Ganav v'tavach u'machar b'rishusam patur. The Ganav still standing inside the fellow's yard, and that's where he does everything. He's potter because he hadn't really technically stolen anything. He hadn't really acquired the item as a Ganav because it was still the owner's property. Now, let's say the Ganav was pulling the animal out of this fellow's property. Umeis, and the animal died midway. Bishus habalim, while still on the owner's territory, potter. The Ganav is potter because, once again, he didn't really acquire the animal to himself. So he's not responsible. But he picked up, he lifted the animal. Rashi says, that constitutes kinyan called hagbaha. When you lift something, it's like in your possession. So that kinyan applies anywhere. It's relevant even in the owner's property because it's like your personal domain, which sort of overrides the surrounding environment. Or if he actually successfully pulled it out of the backyard and then it died of mace, and he's chayav, he's fully responsible. Now let's say the Ganav took the animal, nasnoi lebchiros bnoi. So, the animal is sitting in the backyard there of the owner, and the Ganav takes it and tells the kayan, look, I had my firstborn and I owe you the 5 coins. Here, take the animal instead. Or he says to his creditor, look, here is a payment for my debt. Or he gives it l'shemer chinam to a fellow who's going to watch it for him, free of charge. L'shoyel, a fellow who's going to borrow it from him. L'noyseh sachar, a fellow who's going to watch it for a fee. L'seicher, or somebody's going to rent it from the ganav. So he gives them permission to take this animal out of the backyard of the real owner. The fellow, grabs the animal and starts walking with it. And the animal passes on. Mace. So if it took place b'rishus habalim, while still in the owner's territory, potter. So the ganav is totally potter because there's no real, acquisition of this animal. Higbiyai, but if the kayin or the shomer lifted the animal, oyishayitziyam b'rishus habalim, or he successfully took it out of the rishus of the owner. And then it died. Chayav. So in this case, he's chayav, because a kinyan was established, there was a proper geneva, and Tosis explains, who's chayav? The ganav is chayav. Even though he wasn't really the one who stole it, he used the kayin or the bal chayav or the shomer as a shliach. And typically we say, ein, shliach l'dvar avera. If a shliach does an avera on behalf of a mashaleach, of a sender, you don't attribute the avera to the sender, but here it's different because they weren't aware of the fact that this was going to be a theft. They thought it belonged to the ganav. So in this case, the offense is in fact attributed to the ganav himself. Boya Mimer. Mimer has the following shaila. If a person wants to be kaina, wants to, you know, buy an animal, he does meshicha, and it's his. Tiknu meshicha b'shaymrim? What about a shaymer? One who commits to, he undertakes to watch something. A shaymer chinam or a shaymer sachar. At what point does that commitment, you know, get triggered? Do we need meshicha? Does he have to make an act of acquisition, so to speak, to commit himself, to take it under his care? And only at that point is he responsible for it. Tiknu meshicha b'shaymim? Eloi. Or perhaps, even without an official, formal act of kinyan, he can still trigger his own commitment and responsibility with respect to watching the animal. Omar Rabbi Yemer Shmami, no, we can prove from our Mishnah that in fact meshicha is required to initiate responsibility. Toshma, Nasani, Lubchariz Bnoi, Yalabal Chayvay, Lishamachinim, Vala Shoyal, Nasisach Vala Soicher. So the Ganav sort of authorized these people to take this animal. So he took hold of the animal, he's walking out, and the animal dies. But it's a balan potter. If it died within the owner's territory, so there's no liability. Who made the meshicha? Who's trying to? My love, shomer. We're assuming the shomer was trying to make the meshicha. And the Mishnah clearly tells us that if the shomer was successful, in this case he wasn't, because he never got out of the rishus of the bailo, and meshicha only works outside the rishus. But if he was successful, right, such as in the next case of the Mishnah, it says hitziyam rishus bailim, so the meshicha, the shomer, initiates this chi of shmira of the shomer and sort of puts the animal under his care. So now the ganav is chayav because the shomer took over the animal. So we see clearly the meshicha triggers this liability, triggers this responsibility. My love shomer, we're assuming the shomer is the one doing the meshicha. Ushmamna, and that proves for us that yes, tiknu meshicha b'shomer. Meshicha was applied to shomer. Amar lei, so he responded, no. Lai, ganav. When the Mishnah speaks about somebody doing meshicha, it's not the shomer. He doesn't need to do meshicha to trigger responsibility. As soon as he assumes responsibility, he's chayiv. He doesn't have to have a formal, you know, kinyan. The ganav did the meshicha. And that's why the ganav is chayiv, because he did meshicha, and that constitutes geneva. Hatani l'resha, what do you mean? The ganav's meshicha, which constitutes theft, is mentioned in the first part of the Mishnah. Right? The first part discusses the ganav doing meshicha. Why mention it again? Same exact halacha. So the Gemara, yeah, two variations. Tana ganav sheganav beis habal, but tana ganav sheganav beis shomer. The Mishnah mentions the ganav was stole directly from the owner's property, and then in the sefer, in the second part, we have a case where what happened was the owner gave the animal to the kayin or to the shomer, right? And a ganav comes and wants to steal it from the kayin, from the shomer. So it's two different variations of the same idea. Amar the Ravashi. So Ravashi responds, Lo yisad chayi. Don't use this as an answer to, you know, Mali ganav. Why would the Mishnah repeat the same concept twice? If there's no real tangible difference between the two. Meshicha makes the ganav be kind, that's all. Plain and simple principle. Irrespective of where he took it from, whether from the owner's house or from the Mali ganav sheganav beis shomer, Mali ganav sheganav beis balam. What difference does it make whether he did the meshicha out of the owner's house or the shomer's house? So why would the Mishnah repeat the same halacha twice? El lav shomer. Clearly the Mishnah is telling us a new halacha. Who did the meshicha? The shomer. And by doing Mashiach, he acquires the animal, which triggers this process. Shemaminon, that proves our point. Yeah, Tiknu Mashiach B'Shem Shemaminon. Okay. It's Marnami. Likewise, we learned the name of Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kedera Shatiknu Mashiach B'Lekucha, just like Mashiach is applicable to buyers and sellers. Kach Tiknu Mashiach B'Shem, and likewise by the Shem. Tanya Mehochi, we have the same in a Brisa. Kedera Shatiknu Mashiach B'Lekucha, Kach Tiknu Mashiach B'Shem, just like Mashiach allows you to acquire a purchase, it allows you to trigger personal responsibility for this, for the item which you're taking under your care. Okay, so that's one parallel. Here comes another parallel. Ugeshem shakarka niknis bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Just like we know from Seches Kedushin, how does one acquire property? One of three ways: payment, document, or physical acquisition. So just like it works by kinyan, kach sechiros niknis bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Likewise, a rental is also triggered by one of these three processes. Schiros demai, what is he renting? Ilim b'schiros. Metatlim, just plain items he's renting, renting a car. Metatlim b'nei shtar ninu, since when does a shtar, does a document have any say in establishing schiros of metatlim? Rashi explains, metatlim are typically only acquired through Mashiach. Amar Rav Chisda schiros de karka. He's renting, you know, property. So real estate rental can be initiated through one of these same processes as acquisition of real estate, which is kesef shtar v'chazak. Amar v'lozer. Ra'u shehitmin b'chersh. So they see this this ganav who's hiding out b'chershim, you know, in the forests, to look out for some stray animals which he can, you know, which are owned by people, but you know, fall by the wayside, which he can grab from the pasture. V'tavach u'machar, and he goes and he steals and he does the rest. Mishalem tashlum bar chamishi, he pays up. Amai, why? He never did mashicha. He never was kind of the animal. It's not a proper geneva. He did. He struck it with his club and got it to walk, got it to run. And that's called mashicha because it's his doing, his walking. He's leading the animal. Amri. But here comes another question. We know that only a ganav, person who steals, you know, quietly, clandestinely, only to a ganav do we apply kefil and the rest. But a fellow who's classified as a gazlan, a plain, you know, outright robber who confronts his victim, that's a totally different story. There's no kefil, there's no dal v'hei. Now this fellow apparently is doing it in the open because these people are watching him. Amri, v'chivin the ra'o, if people are watching him, gazlan, he's classified as a gazlan. But ultimately you see he's hiding out. He's trying to be, you know, unseen, so he's classified as a ganav. So what really constitutes a gazlan? A person who's outright brazen in confronting his victim. For instance, we find in Nach, in Shmuel, Ben Ayo Ben Yayoda, Shenemar, as it says, he grabbed the spear from the mitzvah and killed him with it. That's a gazlan. Outright grabbing. Rabbi Echon Omar, another example, Gwin Bali Shechem, people of Shechem who rebelled against Abimelech, Shanema by Yosimulei Bali Shechem, Ma'arvim, they established these people hiding on the roads to ambush Al Rashi Aharim, Ve'yigzul Eskashel Yavar Aleim Baderech, and they robbed, you know, all the passerby. That's called gazela. They confronted their victims and robbed it from them. For Rav Avoh, my time alama mahat mehai. Why did Rav Avoh choose the first example over the second? Amalach will tell you, well, they don't really, you know, deserve the title of gazlan. Given the matamri tmuri, see, they were ambushing. They were doing it, you know, clandestinely. Lo gazlanin ninu, they're not really the true gazlanim. Rabbi Echon ha dekom matam. Rabbi Echon responds, the fact that they were hiding, it's not because they were afraid, which is typically the nature of the ganav. The lo nechzinu inch. No, they were just like sort of temporarily ambushing and hiding behind so that people shouldn't notice them. And give them the opportunity to escape. So it was just sort of a tactic. But in terms of their presentation, in terms of their brazenness, they presented as gazlan. Sha'alu talmidav. Oh, here comes the question. Why? So why, in fact, is a ganav more guilty than a gazlan? Why does he have all these extra payments? Kefil and Dalad Vehe. So this is a question asked by Shola Talmida Ves Rabbi Yechem HaZakai. By Talmida Rabbi Yechem HaZakai. Why is it so? Why was the Torah more strict and severe on a ganav more than a gazlan? Amarlan, he answers like this. Because of his attitude. His lack of emunah. Zeh. You know, the gazlan, even though he appears more brazen and more, you know, confrontational, but ultimately he had the same attitude to Hashem kaviyachal as he had to passerby, to people. He wasn't afraid of people, he wasn't afraid of Hashem. So he's totally off, but he's not sort of pretending. He's pretty open about it. He doesn't care about anything. Zeh, the gazlan, his offense isn't as severe as the ganavs. Zeh hishva kvoid eved kvoid koini. He sort of equated the way he related to the servant, the way he related to the master. It's a mashal, right? So he wasn't afraid of people, he wasn't afraid of Hashem. So he gets, you know, a smaller penalty, but he's not as bad as the ganav, who showed lack of regard only to Hashem. He's afraid. He's not a courageous man. He's afraid. Only afraid of people. But he totally ignored Hashem's presence. V'zelo yishva kvoid eved kvoid koine. This fellow was hiding. Comes out at night when nobody's around. So he's afraid of people. What about Hashem? Kavayochel osa ayin shel mata. So in his behavior, he presented as though the eye down here, it's just a euphemism, the eye of Hashem, the constant eye of Hashem, kilu eina zot, it doesn't exist. Kilu eina roya, v'oizan shamata, the ear of Hashem, kilu eina shemas, as though it's not functioning. Shenemar, the pasuk says, hoy, woe to those people who do things in hiding, ha'amikim Hashem, they hide from Hashem, last year, etzah, v'ayib machshech masin. Uchsev ha'yayim, when they think, they say, Lo yireka, v'lo yavan l'ke Yaakov, Hashem doesn't notice. Uchsev ki'amru, they proclaim, Ozav Hashem as'aretz, Hashem abandoned the aretz, v'in Hashem roi, and Hashem is not watching. Tanya, Amar Mir, Moshlu Moshel, Mishum Rabban Gamliel. So the following Moshel was presented from Rabban Gamliel. L'mo adavardim. This equation, this sort of comparison between the ganav and the gazlan, we have a nice story to illustrate it. Two fellows in town. They both made a party. Now, echad zimen es bnei ir, zimen es bnei melech. So Reuben invited the whole town except for the king's family. So it's a pretty downright insult. Ve'echad zimen es bnei ir, zimen es bnei melech. The other fellow did a small, you know, small time party just for his family, nobody else, no royal family. Okay. Eizimen Aisha Miruba. Which fellow deserves a greater Ainish, greater punishment? Havi Aimer. So the answer is Zesha Zimen is Bnei Ir, Vlad Zimen is Bnei Melech. So the other fellow, we did a small thing, okay. It was just a private affair, not a big deal. Perhaps he should have, you know, invited the king and whatever, but Nishke Farlach, like they say. But the other fellow, who did this major gala affair, everybody invited, but not the Bnei HaMelech. That's a downright pachim panim, right? Downright offensive to the royal family. That's comparable to the ganav, who reckons with the human factor, but not Chas v'Shalom the Hashem factor. Amar Amir, Boyrei, come take a look at another point that we learn from the halacha of Dalad Vehe. A fellow steals an ox and does the tvicha and mechira, he pays 5 times as much. He steals a sheep, he only pays 4 times as much. Look at the value of work. How the Torah values good, honest, and hard work. Why? So you grab the ox, which typically, you know, it's a working ox and can do work, so he was mevatel the malacha, right? He didn't let him work. So he has to pay five, chamisha, as opposed to a seh, just a sheep, which is not a working animal. Since he didn't deprive it of work, arbo only pays four times as much. Comes another point. Another reason for this difference in numbers. Look at the value of kavod habriyos, respect that we're meant to have for every human being. The Torah assumes that the ox was just sort of let out. You know, the ganav sort of let it out of the barn. So for that he has to pay five times as much for the offense of, you know, stealing, etc. But seh, as opposed to the sheep, why does he get a discount? Why does it go down to four? Because he was embarrassed. It was embarrassing to carry the shir kiva yakseifa that he had to sort of carry on his shoulders as he was stealing it. So that was degrading. It was embarrassing. Arbo, Torah gives him one off, one discount here. He goes down to four. You see the koyach of kavod habriyos, even of a ganav. How the Torah reckons with every little nuance of, you know, a person's feelings and accounts for it. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ein megadlin behemo daka b'eretz Yisrael. One is not meant to raise light animals, sheep, goats, in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, why? Mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because we're afraid of destroying the, you know, the crop. We want to preserve the presentation of Eretz Yisrael. Shemaber sasadis v'chol sadis Eretz Yisrael stam in Yisrael. We assume it's sadis owned by Yisraelim. We want to protect them, preserve them. You're not meant to raise these animals. Ava megadlin b'Suria, but in Suria, which was roughly today's Syria, which was sort of annexed Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have the same level of kedusha, and therefore, you know, we're not concerned about yishuv Eretz Yisrael there. Ubi midbar Eretz Yisrael, likewise in the wilderness of Eretz Yisrael, where there's no issue of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ein megadlin tarnegolim b'Yerushalayim. You're not meant to raise chickens, roosters in Yerushalayim. Ne'akachim, because these animals typically rummage through the trash. We're concerned they might pick up something which is not tahar, and b'metamei, spread the tumah to the karbanos of Yerushalayim. V'loy kahanim Eretz Yisrael. And likewise, any kohen living anywhere in Eretz Yisrahl should not be raising the tarnagolim, the taharis, to concern of preserving his tahara status, because every kohen eats truma, but tahara, so keep away from these risky animals. Likewise, one should not raise a chazir anywhere. The Gemara will explain why. Likewise, a person should not raise a dog, unless it was tied down with a chain, concerned that it might scare, you know, people, especially pregnant women, which might get harmed. Ain person is shaving with yonim. One is not meant to spread, set up the traps to catch birds. Elim kena yerochik min ayishiv lamadrus, unless he was really far away from the, you know, from town. 30 ris, which Rashi says is 4 mil, lest the local yonim, the local doves, get ensnared in his traps. So you got to keep your distance to ensure that separation. Tana Rabban, in megadlin b'medakav Eretz Yisrael. He's not meant to raise his animal in Eretz Yisrael, but that's only, you know, where people live. Aval megadlin b'charshin for Eretz Yisrael, but you could do so in the forests, ubisuria, and in Surya, afilo b'yishiv, even in the regular, you know, makom of civilization. Be'interachlem b'chutzlaretz, and certainly, needless to say, in chutzlaretz you can raise them as you wish. Tani, we have another brayse. In megadlin b'medakav Eretz Yisrael. Right? Ava megadlin b'midbar shel Yehuda. We can raise them in the midbar of Yehuda. Uba midbar shel Sfar Akoi. Likewise, in the midbar at the border of Akoi, which is right at the edge of Eretz Yisrael. Va'ava b'sha'amr, even though we said ein megadlin behemo d'akoi, you're not meant to raise the lighter sorts of animals like the sheep and the goats. Ava megadlin b'megasa. What about, you know, the heavy animals, the oxen, etc.? That you can do, because Rashi says tzricha b'yishuv l'masri l'charisha. You need them for you know, tending to the fields, for carrying loads. You can't do without these animals. Chachamim are careful to enact decrees on the community which cannot be kept. Elim kein roiv tzibur yichoyin lamedbo, unless we're sure that at least the majority of the community can keep this gzera. Behem adaka, efshel havi mechutz laretz. The Gemara explains, because ultimately you can import sheep and goats from chutz laretz, so you don't need to raise them locally. But behemagasa yefshar, lahavim chutzlaretz, you can't raise You can't import these fat, big animals. It's not practical in those days, so you can raise them locally. Now, we have a couple exceptions to this rule. Even though you're not meant to raise these behemadakos, aval masha hu kaidim l'regel shloshim yom. But let's say, you know, he purchased this behemadaka from elsewhere for, you know, for yom tov use. So you can have it for, you know, 30, you can buy it at least 30 days before yom tov, you can buy it. Not past 30 days, but within 30 days to yom tov, you can still buy it. And yeah, and then you could shecht it for Yom Tov. So we give you the sort of that window of opportunity. And likewise, v'koydim ishte b'noi lamed yom, 30 days before your son's wedding, in honor of the wedding. U'vad shol yishe es achron yishleshim yom. Now, one must be careful. Let's say, suppose, he purchased, you know, five animals. One animal he purchased 30 days before the wedding, the other one 20 days before the wedding, the other one 10 days before the wedding. So now he's going to say, look, last one I purchased 10 days before the wedding. I want to hold on to it for another 20 days past the wedding, for a total of 30 days. You can't do that. No, the point is, we give you that 30-day window to prepare for the wedding or for the Yom Tov. It's not like you can own it for 30 days, even past the Yom Tov. Perhaps I would say that there's room to think, the nafik le'regel, even when Yom Tov is over, and if you calculate from the date of purchase until today, it's not yet 30 days. So a person should not argue and say, well, Chacham gave you the opportunity to hold it on for 30 days. Tlos and Mishra Shari Le'eshu, you can hold on to it for 30 days. No, it's incorrect. The head to us prepare for Yom Tov. It takes 30 days to prepare. But once Yom Tov is over, quickly get rid of the animal. Elokim is enough like a regular. Once Yom Tov is passed, Le'eshu, you're not meant to hold on to the animal any longer. So we have two exceptions to the rule, L'kavad Yom Tov or a wedding. V'atambach, and likewise, butcher, loikeach v'sheichet. So he's purchasing animals for the Yom HaShuk, Rashi says, so he can buy these animals and do the shechita, loikeach v'sheichet. And likewise, he can actually hold on to the animals for the same type of time period, 30 days ahead of the market. And the same point applies here. The aguna, Rashi says, is the later one, like an isha who's aguna, who's delayed, held back. So again, even though he may have purchased this animal right, you know, a couple of days before the market day, he has no right to hold on to it for another 30 days. The point is, we give you 30 days to prepare for the market. Once the market's over, you should be getting rid of these animals. Okay, let's summarize. So we learned about the concept of a ganav doing a kinyan to trigger the whole Geneva process. Likewise, a shomer must do a kinyan to trigger his responsibility. We explained the difference between a ganav, who's scared of people, not of Hashem, and a gazlan, who doesn't seem to care about anybody, so therefore his penalty is lighter. We explained the difference between the shomer and the seh, why this is 5 and that's 4. And behemah gasa, it's a shomer, is okay, out of necessity, but behemah daka is not okay because of Yishuv Eretz Yisroel, we have some exceptions, ahead of the regal, the wedding, or the Yom HaShuk. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.